Good morning. Let me welcome you this morning to Northwood Presbyterian Church. We're delighted you're here for this hour in worship. We also welcome those who faithfully worship with us through our online streaming. We welcome you, those who worship through our website and also through the Facebook site as well. There are a number of announcements this morning. The first thing I want to ask you to do is complete the friendship sheet that you'll find in the bulletin. To complete it, give us a name, a contact number. If you've changed your address, let us know that, or a number, and then leave it in the pew when you're finished. You will note at the very bottom of the sheet, there's a way for you to reserve an Easter lily in honor or in memory of a loved one. That's a great tradition here in the church as we beautify the sanctuary on Easter for the glory of God. And so use that sheet to do that, or you can call the church office if you're viewing online, or mail the general mailbox email address you'll find online as well. Once you complete that, you'll notice in the pink insert, there's a number of announcements. Paul Means is on vacation today, but he'll be back in the office tomorrow. You will see there is a rose on the baptismal font. Congratulations to Laura and Kevin O'Leary on the birth of their daughter, Erin Elizabeth, born March the 16th. I don't have the weight or the length, but I'll give it to you later. Congratulations as well to the grandparents, Linda and Mike O'Leary, Max and Pat Bygrave, and great-grandparents, Pete and Evelyn Towns. So congratulations to all of you. You can take the rose after the service. You will see this Tuesday the project group meets on March the 28th. There are other meetings that are taking place. You will see the reserved the date for Northwood's Got Talent, April the 30th. If you'd like to be a part of that, contact Babs Bailey if you want to participate. She's anxious to hear from you to get some more acts. You will see as well, if you're a guest this morning, we have a way for you to give. We list that in the insert. You can give online. You can mail your check to the church. We also have two giving stations in the hallway. I share that because there are some Sundays we'll have several guests and they'll come up to me after the service and say, "What do I do with this gift?" And I'll say, "Don't give it to me, put it in the box." And so that's the way you do the giving here. There are other announcements I want to encourage you to read. You will see an insert that has a number of new members to be introduced at this service. One of the joys we have as a congregation is in welcoming new members to the church. And this morning we have 10 new members I want to briefly introduce so you can put a living face to a name, not just a printed face. I want to ask them to please stand as I call their names and remain standing for a little bit because I want to give a closing welcome speech at the end while you're still standing. Bob and Barbara Fincher, they join us by transfer of letter. Before moving to Louisville, Kentucky, they were members of the Palmacea Presbyterian Church in Tampa, and they now have returned to our area and live in Safety Harbor. Before moving back from Louisville, they were members in Louisville at the Christ United Methodist Church for a few years. We welcome you to our church. Lois Barber joins us by transfer of letter from a local Methodist church, and she also lives here in Clearwater. Safety Harbor, okay. I'll make that correction on the friendship sheet. Claudia Mitchum joins us by reaffirmation of faith, and she's in the choir, I believe, and you live in Holiday, right? Holiday. Mary and Homer and Nick Hodson, they join us as affiliate members. They are members of the St. Andrews Presbyterian Church in Coldwater, Ontario, Canada, for 6 months of the year. While they were here with us last Sunday was their last Sunday with us until they return in October. And so we look forward to their return. Jan Spaulding transfers to us from the Rivermont Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I know that church very well. I've visited there often. And she lives in Palm Harbor. She is not with us today. She is not feeling well. And so we look forward to meeting her at a later time. Hazel Vernon joins us from a local Methodist church, and she lives here in Clearwater. And Carol and Conrad Trunzo, they join us by a reaffirmation of faith, and they live in Clearwater as well. Well, I want to welcome all of you as new members to our church, and I hope after the service, that you'll take an opportunity to extend to them the right hand of friendship. You see where they're seated. They'll be there after the closing voluntary. Look them up, say hello, and we'll get you too. You may be seated. This concludes the morning announcements, I believe. Let us come together for worship in the responsive call to worship. The Lord leads us like a shepherd.
God nourishes our lives and restores our souls.
The Lord is with us, even in the darkest valley.
God's goodness and mercy are always close.
I encourage you to stand and offer a sign of peace to those near you and remain standing for the opening hymn. If the Lord should mark our iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with God, and so in trust and faith, let us humbly offer our confession to Almighty God. Let us pray together. Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord. Hear our voices, and let your ears be attentive to our prayers. We come into your presence, confessing our sins,
aware we have behaved in ways that are contrary to your desire for our living. We come into your presence aware that too often we allow lifelessness to gain the upper hand. We come into your presence aware that we put our trust in our own abilities. Forgive us, O God. Breathe into us with your life-giving spirit and make us alive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, hear the good news of the Gospels. Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. With the Lord there is steadfast and enduring love that lasts forever. With God there is a great power to redeem. Thanks be to God who forgives all our iniquities. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you for that anthem. I usually say at the door of the church, some of you have heard me say this, when you come out and talk about your enjoyment of worship, I usually say, I like the music here, and one of my joys is I get to worship here too. I want to mention that if you look in the insert for the announcements, you'll see the listing for Holy Week services. Next Sunday begins Holy Week with Palm Sunday. And so we are almost to some of the greatest celebrations of the Christian year. And so look at that schedule. Note when the services are. Today we call Pretzel Sunday in the life of our church. We usually pick one Sunday in Lent and offer free hot pretzels at the kitchen through our kitchen crew. For those of you who know this, many of you know this, the pretzel is in the shape of praying hands. And the pretzel was invented by a monk long ago. And initially, it was given to children as prizes for saying their prayers during Lent. And so you received a prize today to remember to pray. As we come to this time, let us also come to prayer. Let us pray. O great God, in you is more love than we can imagine, and more grace than we can fathom. You have shown yourself in Jesus Christ as a God who meets us where we are and loves us as we are. And we are grateful for this day, grateful for this time in worship to glorify you and enjoy your presence. We are grateful also for your many gifts that you bestow us upon us in life, and there are many of them. Oh Lord, you bring good things into our lives. We often forget that and see only the bad, but you bring good things into our lives more than we can name and more than we can number when we stop to think about it. You indeed carry us on our way in the journey of life. You lead us by your guiding hand. You give us our daily bread. And you sustain our souls and feed our deepest hungers. Oh Lord, you accompany us on our way. And so thank you. We thank you in our prayers for your abundant faithfulness to us. Oh Lord, in our prayers, we acknowledge that our hearts are full of so many things today. Disease and death and pain and sorrow are constantly in our world and in our lives in particular ways. The journey through these days is marked by uncertainty and heartache, and we find ourselves frequently overwhelmed by the needs around us and within us. And so hear us now as we pray not only for ourselves, but we pause and pray for others. Lord, you know the need. Some people need healing. Many need encouragement. Some need comfort. Some need assurance. We all need hope. And so we turn to you, asking you to hear our prayers and grant what we need for the living of these days. We pray for our nation. We pray for renewed commitments to our common life together. Refresh in us the values of your heart for the need for justice and righteousness, compassion, mercy, and peace. Help us find unity of purpose as citizens and as neighbors. We pray, O Lord, for your church and places near and far. May the waters of your grace continually refresh and empower us as we seek to extend the love of Jesus to all people. We pray for clarity of our witness and success in our mission. We pray for this congregation. We pray for our life together and for all the efforts in following Jesus Christ. Hear us, O Lord. Hold us. Heal us. Help us. For the sake of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when to pray, to pray like this, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God has entrusted us as stewards of the earth. God has blessed us in so many ways, and God calls upon each one of us to make the point of a self-sacrifice. And so let us do so, remembering all that we owe to God and all our gratitude to God. Amen. Let us stand for the doxology. Prayer of dedication, I invite you to remain standing for our next hymn of faith. Let us pray. O God, all that we have belongs to you. You have provided for us along our journey. You have guided us and helped us and sustained us. And we give you thanks, O Lord, as we make a sacrificial gift back to you. We do so in Christ's name. Amen. Sermon for this fifth Sunday of Lent is entitled Lenten Prayer, the Key to Our Treasure. And I'll be reading in the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It is a section entitled in many Bibles concerning prayer, an occasion when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray and about prayer. Listen now to God's holy word to us today. Beginning at verse 5, And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that you will speak to us today through these ancient words, but words often that we repeat often. Help us to pray and to pray for your will. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and all of our prayers, may they be acceptable in your sight. For, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to begin this morning by talking about a bit of history. Last Sunday I began by reading to you a children's book. This Sunday begins with a history lesson. In 1944, as World War II was concluding in Europe, a man named Helmut Thielicke, he delivered 11 sermons on the Lord's Prayer. He did so week after week for almost 3 months. How about that? 3 months, the Lord's Prayer. Christians in Stuttgart, Germany, they came from all over to hear Thielicke preach on each phrase, each petition in the Lord's Prayer. Again, 11 sermons in all. During the third week after the sermon, much of the church he was preaching in was destroyed in an air raid. After that, the congregation gathered in a choir area, which was really kind of a sub-chapel of the church, and they began to meet there to have church. The fifth sermon, just two sermons later, the fifth sermon again was interrupted by sirens and the Allied air attack. Later that day, the entire church was destroyed. It was destroyed and demolished by Allied bombs. The final six sermons were given in the parish hall of St. Matthew's Church, also in Stuttgart. It was the largest auditorium at that time in the city. After the eighth sermon in that series, the Third Reich fell and the Allied occupation began to control the city. And years later, Thielecki published his 11 sermons on the Lord's Prayer that took place during this period of time. Now, in the introduction to his book on the Lord's Prayer, he writes these words: "The Lord's Prayer is truly a prayer that spans the world. The world of everyday trifles, the world with its hours of joy, its bottomless anguish, the world of monotonous routine and of sudden terrible catastrophe." And then he adds this sentence: "What greater thing could there be than to see the world in a new way, starting with the Lord's Prayer?" Well, touche. Now, few, if any of us, will ever learn about the Lord's Prayer under such dramatic conditions, will we? But here's the point. All of us know what it means to live in a world of monotonous routine. We know what it is to live in a world of terrible, sudden catastrophe. We know what it means for things to end as they once were and to change in a singular event. We know what that's like. Well, the Lord's Prayer, that's also, as you know, called the Disciples' Prayer, it enables those who would follow Jesus to see the world in a new way, even after and during terrible catastrophe. Listen as Jesus teaches his disciples here several things about prayer. I want to cover three of them: how to pray, what to pray, and why to pray. We begin with why to pray. Why? Because prayer is the key to our treasures. The key to our treasure. If we want to know what is of ultimate importance in our lives, then let us listen to our own prayers. Let us listen not to public prayers, but to our private prayers. And Jesus teaches us this: where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so it's true, the private yearnings of our hearts and minds, that is where we will find our treasure. Now, there are many people in the world who pray even if they do not believe in God, and they pray often because they recognize the limitations to human life, and it causes them to pray. And we do the same at times. We cry out, we groan, we sigh, we ask, we hope. We pray to the Creator of heaven and earth that that Creator will become our ally, our advocate, and our helper. I personally believe that prayer is the expression of two enduring convictions. The first is this: that the world is not ordered as it should be. The world's not ordered as it should be. And the second conviction is there is a power that exists that can reshape and transform our world. It can bring up there, down here. You know, if you are content with life as it is, then you will not have a need and you will not have a desire to pray. But if you are discontent with life as I am, then you will pray. You will pray to the one to shape life. You will pray to the one who has the power to give us hope. And that will be our treasure. Jesus teaches his followers about the treasure. He teaches us to have a treasure where moths cannot consume, nor can rust, and I would add, nor can bombs. Here then is the first truth about prayer. Until our hearts long for the treasure Jesus brings us, our prayers will be in vain. Why do we pray? We pray that our lives might be linked to that treasure we call God. Jesus' prayer points us to God. Jesus' prayer leads us to God. That's how it begins. Our Father who art in heaven. Prayer leads us to God, our treasure. How do we pray? We pray humbly. Verse 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. When you pray, Jesus says, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father in secret will reward you. Across the years, I have learned that the most genuine, spiritually renewing way to pray is in the privacy of my own room or my own office or my car, and at times I have prayed on my knees. Now, I would say to you, I don't recommend getting on your knees to pray while you are driving a car. But that is one posture to pray in. Interesting, Jesus does not mention kneeling to pray, and I'm not trying to turn us into Episcopalians. But whatever posture you find yourself comfortable in, pray in that way. What the passage does say to us is that Jesus teaches us that prayer is important, and it's important to do so humbly and privately. Across the years as a pastor, in every church I have served, I have taken time to go, sometimes once a year or every couple of years, in every church to the AA meetings that are sponsored in the church, or an Al-Anon meeting or some support group, and I go to introduce myself as pastor in the church and let those groups know how much we as a congregation support them. That's important. And the groups I've met with, they're always so grateful. They're always so welcoming. Their meetings only last about an hour. And many of you know the process of those particular kinds of meetings. During the meeting, each speaker introduces himself or herself. They say, my name is, they fill in the blank, and then they say, I am an alcoholic. And at every meeting, someone talks about the importance of sobriety and struggling with that every single day, one day at a time. And then fascinating, at the end of the meeting, what I have often experienced is people joining hands in those groups and saying together the prayer of our Lord. The key to the treasure. It's a powerful experience. Behind those closed doors of an AA meeting amid people who make no effort to hide their human brokenness, they pray. And they often pray not with eloquent words, not at great length. They pray humbly and they pray as a group in private. But the prayer enables them to see the world in a new way. And the practice of prayer has changed their life and continues to change their lives. And so I recap this morning. Why do we pray? We pray that our lives might be linked to that treasure we call God. And our God is a personal God, our Father in heaven. How do we pray? We pray with humility. We pray in privacy. We pray as a people who admit we cannot control our own lives and we long to be redeemed by a power that is greater than ourselves. That is our hope. And now, what do we pray? We pray for the holiness of God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we make the name of God holy by carrying God in our hearts and in our minds, as well as embracing a vision of God's kingdom, where the lion lays down with the lamb and there is a peaceable kingdom. That's our treasure. The vision of the kingdom of God within our hearts causes us to work for the will of God to be done on earth. One scholar has put it this way that I like. He writes, the Lord's Prayer is a protest against the world as we know it. And the prayer The prayer is a way of dedicating ourselves to the vaster purposes of God. And God's purposes are to transform and renew. Jesus led his followers to Jerusalem to see the vaster purposes of God. Helmut Thielicke, he was preaching to his congregation during the closing days of World War II, and he wanted them to see the vaster purposes of God. And what I find most interesting, having studied these sermons by Thielicke, is that there is not one word of hatred toward the Allies who were bombing the city. And there is also not a single word of hatred toward the Nazis who had inflicted so much pain and damage on their own people and country. No, what he does in his sermons, they're a call not to hate, but to live lives which honor God. I find it so interesting that when the Lord teaches us how to pray in this prayer, he goes into an instruction, the very first thing he does, telling us about the importance of forgiveness. Did you notice that? Verse 14, the very first thing, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." You see, Thielicke called upon his congregation to look beyond the monotonous and the catastrophic things that happen in war to the greater purposes of God. And what would that mean for us? What would that look like? What would it mean to look beyond hatred, to look beyond violence and fear that often marks our society? What would that mean? What do we treasure the most? What does your heart long for? What do you pray for? That is your treasure. These are questions to continue to reflect upon as we travel with Jesus to the cross on Good Friday and to Easter morning. And so we continue now our Lenten journey to Jerusalem next week on Palm Sunday and then through Holy Week to make the name of God holy. Holy in our very lives, the key to our treasure. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for these few moments together. May this hour of worship inspire and encourage us in the week ahead. In Christ's name, amen.
Where is those?
Following the closing voluntary, I invite you to welcome our new members, and remember, during the fellowship time, there are still pretzels available. And now, as we go in peace, do not let anything steal your joy or steal your treasure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say, Amen. Amen. I get to worship here.